This is Gabriel Wrench with Cross Politic Daily News Brief for February 5th, 2020. The Democratic Iowa Caucus. On Monday night, the Democratic Iowa Caucus ends with no results. Apparently, the new app rolled out to tally caucus votes was experiencing some sort of glitch. According to KHQ, the Iowa Democratic Party blamed a coding issue in the reporting system that it said has since been fixed. While the confusion rolled into the night, several candidates took time to comment on their status in the coming results. Sleepy Joe Biden said, "It looks like it's going to be a long night, but we're feeling good." Breadline Bernie said he had a good feeling we're going to do very well here in Iowa, and today marks the beginning of the end for Donald Trump. Pocahontas, that's Elizabeth Warren, said, "Listen, it's too close a call. The road won't be easy, but we are built for the long haul." And then Pinko Pete took it all of these a step further and said, "So we don't know all the results, but we know by the time it's all said and done, Iowa, you have shocked the nation. By all indications, we are going on to New Hampshire victorious." So Pinko Pete declares himself basically victorious, even though the results are problematic already. Of course, don't forget our commander-in-chief's twittering about this. Trump said, "The Democratic caucus is an unmitigated disaster. Nothing works, just like they ran our country. The only person that can claim a very big victory in Iowa last night is Trump." End of quote. Trump he's pretty much right about this. And regardless of the results that will come out of this, by the time this news brief drops, Iowa's results will be insignificant anyways. Any candidate now has the grounds for casting a shadow over the victor, and Iowa kind of deserves it. So whoever comes out on top, it's not really going to matter because of the compromised results already. So Iowa is out of the race before any of the major Democratic candidates have bowed out, and who would have predicted that? The other thing not to forget about is that the current CEO of the tech company that flubbed the app is Gerard Nomura. Nomura served as Hillary Clinton's director of product during her 2016 campaign. Also, Krista Davis, who served as Hillary Clinton's campaign, is also the current CTO of the app company. I had a friend who's all in for Bernie say this about the Iowa fiasco. He said, "I'm inclined to dunk all those libertarian know-it-alls who loudly repeat the article of faith that big government is incompetent, or who trot out the quippy mantra of our first media star president. The 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, 'I'm from the government and I'm here to help.'" My friend goes on to say, "The Iowa caucus were a damn mess this year, a display of epic raw incompetence, but not because the state government bungled the job. It was the Democratic Party put their faith and money in a shadowy private for-profit tech firm that's going to disrupt the election industry or whatever." So this is how confused the Democratic Party is right now. My friend does not like libertarians and he does not like fascist Democrats. That is basically business in bed with politics. But what is his solution? His solution's breadline Bernie. He's all in for Bernie. And if Bernie had his way, Bernie would bring us under a full-on socialist agenda and heading right into communism. Included in this, he wants to nationalize electricity, raise the minimum wage, virtually destroy the stock market, force everyone to have government health care, and so on. And then your other candidates, you know, like Michael Bloomberg right now has spent more than a quarter of $1 million. It's about $200 million. He spent more the last quarter on his campaign than the NRA, the National Gun Association, right? The NRA spends in a year, which is about $194 million. And then yet Bloomberg has been running ads on Super Bowl calling the NRA a Goliath. It's just insane. And then lastly, you got, while Pinko Pete is declaring himself the winner, the real winner is clearly President Trump. I never thought a Democratic caucus would end in favor of a Republican president. Instagram generates more than a quarter of Facebook's revenue. According to Discern, Instagram, the photo sharing app bought by Facebook in 2012 generated more than a quarter of the company's revenue last year, according to people familiar with the matter, and I'll explain that here in a minute. The app brought in about $20 billion in advertising revenue during 2019. Instagram's revenue beat out YouTube, which brought in about $15 billion in ads, according to the statement released by the parent company Alphabet on Monday. So Facebook does not separately report their earnings from Instagram. So this is a report that we're kind of believing in from the Alphabet company, kind of an estimate of what's going on. Instagram is interesting. Think of the user experience. You can't share someone's photo within the experience, and so you are largely locked into scrolling and liking and viewing a thread. So on Instagram, you really are there for the experience and to see what others are doing. YouTube, on the other hand, has no real scrolling experience, and when you do share a video, you have to go outside the platform to share the video. Now, I tend to like YouTube's video experience over Facebook's video experience because you go and you see one video and you're there to watch that video and then you leave. I like that, not being distracted. And I would prefer Twitter's scrolling experience if they would clean up how comments and interactions are formatted. The point here is that the tech world is still learning and figuring things out, and I believe in the next 5 years or so, we will see some major shakeup in the social media world. You already have Instagram coming on with, you know, since being purchased by Facebook, now they're bringing in about $20 billion a year in ad revenue. That's pretty significant. One more thing to note here. Since November, this is not beside the point here, I have been banned from posting into groups and sharing user content on Facebook. I'm in Facebook purgatory until about February 22nd, and I have no idea why I got in purgatory in the first place, and I have no one to appeal to either. I have no one to talk to, no one to connect with and contact about this. As Christians, I really think this is important. We really need to be thinking about building and owning platforms. Don't just think of Facebook as as the only platform out there. Think of, you know, your blog as a platform, or your, let's say, your distribution company. Let's say you own a, you know, a beer and wine distribution company, or a book publishing company, or like our Fight Laugh Feast network, or our Fight Laugh Feast conference. Those are all platforms, and in some way or another, your company can probably move into some sort of platform. To put a little definition behind this, this is kind of, you know, from the Webster definition kind of category here. A platform is a group of technologies that are used as a base upon which other applications, processes, or technologies are developed. So you're the foundation for a whole, you know, network or whole economy coming out of your platform. Think of Amazon as a platform, or eBay as a platform. All these companies have been able to spin off other industries or allow other startups to happen and kind of even survive on their platform. Think of the more archaic definition of platform, which is a raised surface that people stand on, right? That's how we used to use the term platform. How can you turn your company into a platform? That's a really important question. Think in terms of platforms. I think it is key that Christians building businesses that are strategically impacting our culture and economy as we apply the gospel to every area of our life is really important. And the way to think about this is through platforms. This is why we didn't want to just start Cross Politic, and why we went on to start the network, our broader network with more podcasts on it. The network is a pipeline that distributes all sorts of Christian content and not just Cross Politic, right? So other podcasts can, you know, thrive on our environment. As we have the time and resources, we want to create a network that includes competition against, you know, competing against ESPN. One of the things that struck me in the last couple of years is just how I grew up playing basketball. You know, I played college basketball. I love ESPN. I'll watch SportsCenter on repeat, and it'll be the same show again and again. But how frustrating was it? I say frustrating, not frustrating. It's too American. You got to keep it Texan, right? Frustrating. How frustrating was it when you guys, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Bruce Jenner went up and received the ESPY Awards as a woman? But all the Olympic accomplishments that Bruce Jenner won was as a man, not on estrogen, you know, and it's just so laugh out loud comical what ESPN has turned into. And so I would love to be a part of, you know, Christians competing and taking over the sports space. Sabbath feasting shows, sitcoms, family movies, and more. So think how your business can become a platform for your industry. This is Gabriel Wrench with Cross Politic News. You can find this show and all others on the Fight Laugh Feast Network at crosspolitic.com or fightlaughfeast.com. Support Christian media and join our club at fightlaughfeast.com. We also hope to meet you at our first annual Fight Laugh Feast Conference in Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st through the 3rd. Go to fightlaughfeast.com to sign up for our conference email list. Thank you for listening, and Lord bless.